And the thing I like about Good Times is that here was a family that faced difficult situations. And it seems like they were always in a crisis. And, you know, when I think about the words of the song, and that's where I get the title of my message today, you know, it says, good times anytime you need a payment. Good times anytime you need a friend. Good times anytime you're out from under, not getting hassled, not getting hustled. Notice what it says. Keeping your head above water. Making a way when you can. Temporary layoffs, good time. Easy credit rip-offs, good time. Scratching and surviving, good times. Hanging and jiving, good times. Ain't we lucky we got them, good times.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Keeping Your Head Above Water. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Keeping Your Head Above Water.
If you don't do another thing, God, you've already been faithful. And the psalmist looked back and noticed what the psalmist said. He said again, he said, for Lord, thou hast been a shelter. That word shelter means refuge, a hiding place, and a strong tower from the enemy. Lord, you have been a tower for me to climb up and a tower for me to hide. This means that you have protected me. And as I think about, you know, just I wanted us to really meditate on this verse and ask ourselves, what does this verse mean to me? You know, do I really think about the things that God has done for me? A past association. How has God associated with me in the past and done great and mighty things? If you'll put up that next slide. And I thought about the names of God. El Shaddai, the God who strengthens and sustains. Have you ever been spiritually faint, physically weary? Do you know who it was that brought you through? It was El Shaddai. What about Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides? Did you need wisdom in a situation? Did you need a financial blessing when your funds were low? Were you in need of material provisions? You know who met that need? It was Jehovah Jireh. He came through for you in the past. He made a way out of no way. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, the Lord who is our victory. Have you ever needed to be victorious over your enemy? Have your enemies ever spoken bad against you? They tried to tear you down, called you everything but a child of God, stabbed you in the back and didn't give it a second thought, and you just needed the victory, and God lifted you up. Jehovah Nissi. What about, has he been in the past Jehovah Shalom to you? Has he been the Lord your peace? Have you ever experienced a death in your family? Oh, I'm sure we all have. Every last one of us have experienced some kind of death where we lost somebody that was close to us. And yet and still the Lord sustained us and he took us through. Who was it that took us through? It was Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who gave us peace when we were fearful about the future, when we were dealing with times of uncertainty, who steadied our spirit and helped us through. It was Jehovah Shalom. What about Jehovah, Yahweh, Sabbath, the Lord of armies, the one who deals with our enemies, the one who goes out and fights our battles. And we go on and we continue to see Jehovah Mekah, the Lord sanctifies. I don't know about you, but when I first got saved, I didn't know anything about Jesus Christ. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about Christianity. But you know what? Jehovah Mekah, he came through. And what did he do? He sanctified me, and he helped me, you know, to walk through. You know, I tell people all the time that when I first got, you know, my wife is sitting back there, and she knows that before I got saved, every other word out of my mouth was a cuss word. You know, every other word out of my mouth was a cuss word. And when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, you know, I haven't said a cuss word since then. Thought a lot. No, just kidding. But who was it? Who was it that cleaned up my mouth? Who was it that cleaned up my tongue? It was Jehovah Makedesh. I can go back and look and see how he's done that. Jehovah Roy, the Lord is my shepherd. When I travel from place to place, guidance through life situations, all type of need. Now, I don't know about you, saints. I'm just going to be honest with you. Let's be real. Okay, I'm going to be real. Okay, I'm just going to be real. The older I get, the less I hate to drive at night. And not only drive at night, but drive in the rain at night. Woo! And so, you know, Jehovah Roy, the Lord, who is my shepherd. And there's another thing that troubles my spirit, especially at night. I don't mind it as much in the day, but at night. Man, there's so many deer out here, man. There's just so many deer. I left my house this morning. Neighbor had a garden, and I mean, I got all kind of rabbits in my neighborhood. I probably got, there's about five rabbits that just hang around my house all day long. And that's one reason I didn't plant a garden, because I said, I'm not going to feed the rabbits, but I got it figured out for next year, so I'm going to have me one next year. But in my neighbor's yard, he had a garden, and I looked down there, man, there was a big deer in his yard eating this stuff, man. I said, man, these deer are everywhere. And so when I'm driving, especially at night, man, you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for deer, man, because them things jump out at the last minute. I don't know about you, but I need a God who's going to shepherd me. I need a God that's going to give me traveling mercies. I need a God that's going to guide me and direct me. And I've seen him do it time and time again. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. When you prayed for a loved one, when you prayed for a backslide, when you prayed for somebody that's been incarcerated and God worked in their life and moved in a great and mighty way. Well, who? That was Jehovah Tsidkenu. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. He's present in times of death. Jehovah Rapha, oh, I don't know about you, but we've all been sick. We've all been sick at some point in time. And who brought us through? It was Jehovah Rapha that brought us through. You say, well, I was sick and I never really, I just kind of healed up on my own. Well, who do you think that was? I look at it like this. Even if it wasn't direct healing, God put healing in the body. You know, I praise God for doctors. I thank God for doctors. But, you know, there's one thing that doctors can't do, and every doctor would tell you, they can't heal. Doctors can't, they can put things in place, they can tell you what to take, they can, you know, do a surgery and all that. But once you sit back and they've done all that they can do, then you just sit back and what? Let God do his thing. Because he that put healing in the body. And so, as I think about what the psalmist, when he was dealing with an overwhelming situation, what did he do? He began to think back on his past relationships with God and how God brought him through. Do you do that? When your heart is overwhelmed, do you do that? Or do you just allow your circumstances and your situation to overwhelm you? All right. So we move on to my third and my final point this morning. We see a present contemplation. We see a past association. And now we see a future elevation. And this is where God elevates you above your circumstances. This is where he elevates you above your situation. And this is what we look forward to. We look forward to a deliverance. The first thing we realize is that we will be elevated by abiding in the Lord's tabernacle. Look what he says in verse 4. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. Now, what is the tabernacle? And I'm going to hit this again a little bit later. But all the tabernacle was the place where God's presence was. In the Old Testament, where did God dwell? See, in the New Testament, God lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. So when we leave the building, you know, God is not up here in the choir stand saying, boy, I can't wait till next Sunday when they come back again. You know, I mean, I do believe that there's a reverence for the sanctuary and a hallowedness for the sanctuary. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, that when you leave this building, God leaves with you because you brought him when you came. And so when you leave, he's leaving with you. But in the Old Testament, he stayed in the tabernacle. His presence was in the tabernacle. And so therefore, as God was in the tabernacle, the psalmist says that if I want to overcome my situations, I need to make sure I stay in the presence of God. I need to make sure I'm sensing his presence. Because when I begin to feel, oh man, somebody hear me. This is for somebody today. This is for somebody today. That when I begin to not feel the presence of God, that's when my situation overwhelms me. That's when it takes me under. When I lose that confidence that God is with me, then at that point, they come, as Isaiah said, the enemy will come in like a flood. But when you sense the Lord's presence in your life, he will lift up a standard against them. That's why we need to be in the presence of God. Don't get out here and fight this thing on your own. Have the confidence, have the assurance that God is with you. And you know, people, you know, we think it's something mystical. We think it's something magical that some, ooh. No, there's just the confidence. I'm getting ahead in my message. That when I know I'm walking by faith and I'm walking according to God's principles, that I have an assurance that he is with me. Sometimes I feel it. Sometimes I feel it. Sometimes you feel like a nut. And sometimes you don't. Sometimes I feel it. I mean, I can feel it so strong. I can feel his presence. I mean, sometimes he'll come in the and I'll just start weeping. Or sometimes he'll come and I'll just, yeah! And then other times I don't feel it. But I have the assurance that he's there. I know that he's there. And that in the midst of my circumstances, that God is with me in it. And so the psalmist said, when I'm overwhelmed, he said, I'm going to know that God is with me. And the next thing, he said that not only that, but I'm going to stay under God's wings. Look at verse 4. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the King James says, covert of thy wings. But this word covert basically means hiding place or protection. And look at, real quick, look at Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwelleth in the secret place, wow, of the Most High. Where's the secret place? That's the Holy of Holies. Are you living in the Holy of Holies? Are you living in the very presence of God? He who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Lord, all I need is a shadow. All I need to know is that your shadow is covering me. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Now, does this mean that God is a big chicken and that he got wings and feathers? No. This is anthropomorphic language, and it's giving animal-like qualities to God. And so when it says that, you know, we'll abide under his wings and under his feathers, that the analogy there is a mother bird. And that when the mother bird is nesting, or the eggs, and how that the mother bird spreads out the wings over that nest and just hovers over it and protects it and keeps it safe. And so we have the assurance that our situation and our circumstances are not going to take us down. Because God is protecting us. He's watching over us. And he's going to keep us through all of that. And so we thank God that we can nest under him. Now look at verses 5 and 6. The psalmist said that I'm going to step up my commitment to the Lord. He said, because my situation can be overwhelming sometimes, he said that this is going to motivate me to be more committed to the Lord. Look at verse 5. For thou, O God, hast heard, look at this, my vows. Lord, I've made a vow that I'm going to reverence you, I've made a vow that I'm going to worship you. I've made a vow that I'm going to draw close to you. Thou hast given me the heritage of those who fear thy name. If you fear the name of God, I made a vow that I'm going to respect and I'm going to revere the name of God. I'm going to trust the name of God. And Lord, you're going to give me the heritage. And what is the heritage? The heritage is that he will protect you. He will watch over you. He will guide you through your circumstances. Then, I don't know, for some reason, the psalmist shifts in verse 6, and he begins to refer himself as the king. So many people say, well, this is why we know that it was David. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. And so God is going to let you know that there's nothing, this is good, man, this is good, that there's nothing that will take until he's ready. There's nothing in this life that can happen to you until he's ready. Notice what he says here. He says, thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations, that God is going to watch over you. Now, we don't need to be foolish, and we don't need to do like the guy did. This guy was unbelievable, man. Jumped out of a plane 25,000 feet in the air without a parachute. See, some people say, well, he had faith. No. You know, I remember I preached a sermon one time on faith, foolishness, and presumption. So, you know, no, some things are just foolish. You know, you don't want to put God, you don't want to tempt God, you want to put him to the test. But if we do find ourselves, you know, coming out of a plane, that my hand is in God's life. I mean, my life is in God's hand. He's in control. And I just trust him, knowing that he's going to do what's best for me. And I'm not ready to go anywhere. I'm not ready to go anywhere. And there's been a lot of people before me that wasn't ready to go. But God took them home. He took them into his presence. So when God gets ready for you, there's nothing you can do about it. It comes, that's why enjoy your life. Serve him. Commit to him. As the psalmist did, make vows unto him. Lord, I'm going to trust you. Lord, I'm going to reverence you. Lord, I'm going to respect you. And enjoy your life. It says here that he gives length of days. He prolongs life. And so now go back. Look, let's go back real quick so we can tie it in. Verse 2, from the end of the earth, I will cry, will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. When I'm dealing with a situation that can take me out, right? Then he says what? Lord, prolong my life. According to you, Lord, prolong my life. And then we see, you know, he said he would be taken out of his circumstances by abiding again in the Lord's presence. Look at verse 7. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. Mercy and truth. That God has given us mercy and truth. He has delivered us out of situations. He has made ways out of no way, according to his truth. Now, what should we do? In return, we should show others mercy and truth. And this thing is reciprocal. And that as you know, the Bible says that whatever you reap, you're going to sow. So if you minister, oh man, if you minister to other people who are if you minister to somebody that's in an overwhelming situation, then it's going to come back to you. God is going to bring it back to you. You know, Job's friends, that when Job lost his possessions, he lost his family, and he lost his health. And his three friends came, and they sat with him. And I just believe, man, I believe that Job got strength from that. And Job was comforted by the fact that his friends came and they showed him mercy and they showed him truth until they opened their mouth. For what was it, 6, 7 days? They just sat showing mercy and truth. And God will reciprocate that to you. And then finally, he would be elevated by being faithful to his vows. Verse 8, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Lord, the things that I've committed to you to do, that I'm going to praise you for that. I'm going to sing praises to you for that. And as I sing praises, then you're going to continue to reciprocate to me deliverance from being overwhelmed. Now, the recipe. Let me give you a little recipe here for overcoming being overwhelmed. First of all, prioritize important things. Don't let little things stress you out. Don't let little things crowd out. You know, you've all heard the illustration about the guy. There was some sand, and there were some pebbles, and there were some big rocks. And the guy said, fill up this container with these things. And so he put the sand in, and he put the pebbles in, and then he tried to put the big rocks in, and he couldn't. And so he said, what is the lesson that you learned from that? He said, I don't know. He said, the lesson is do what? Put the big rocks in first, and then let the other stuff fill around it. Prioritize the important things. What's important? So it's important that you spend time with God. It's important, as the psalmist said, that you live for God, that you serve God. That's important. Prioritize the important things. Secondly, stay focused and reduce distractions. You know, a lot of people are distracted. That's why he said that I'm going to come up underneath God's wings. Why is that? Because I'm going to stay close to the heart of God. If I stay close to the heart of God, then I'm going to be focused on who's able to overcome any situation and circumstance in my life. I like this. Work smart and not hard. Work smart and not hard. There's too many people working hard, right? Like the guy, young guy, big guy, you know, with a bulging biceps, chest popped out, little waist. The lumberjack, right? He was cutting down trees. He was cutting down trees left and right, tearing them down. And as time went on, he was less productive. And eventually he became so non-productive that they fired him. And he was talking to this experienced lumberjack. And he said, I don't understand. He said, man, I was working just as hard as I was from the beginning. But I was cutting down less and less trees. And the old lumberjack said, well, did you ever take time to sharpen your axe? He said, no, I was too busy cutting down trees. You know, he was working hard and not smart. When we work smart and not hard, our situation, our circumstances will not overwhelm. Ask for help. You know, we all got pride. I'm just going to be honest with you. That's a very difficult thing for us to do. But sometimes you just got to ask for help. Don't be like the little kid. Let me do it. I can do it. I can. You can't. You know you can't. Let me do it. Then you just got to show them, well, no, you can't do it. Then they finally do what? I can't do it. And they ask for help. Create boundaries. You'll set up some boundaries for yourself so that things don't press in on you. And so that you know what you're going to say yes to, what you're going to say no to, so that things don't overwhelm you. Give up the need to control, to be in control of everything. You know, that stresses a lot of people out. They got to be in control. And sometimes you got to let that need to be in control go. And then read Psalm 61. Read Psalm 61. That's the recipe for overcoming being overwhelmed.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Apes in the Church. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Keeping Your Head Above Water, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Keeping Your Head Above Water. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Keeping Your Head Above Water. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.